Don and Mike, WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Under the boardwalk, witty and change my house under the...
This music too in the background.
Raging Bulls. And Carmella in the background.
Stop! Bobby!
That's a man right
okay.
there.
Okay.
Oh, my shoulder is killing me. Is he all right?
Hold it, everybody. Look, Tom. I'm really sorry.
Bobby, just shut up. Let's all just go to bed. What the f*** were you thinking?
You're my wife. He insulted you.
I'm a big girl. I can take care of myself. Oh, God. He is head of the family. You think he's just going to wake up tomorrow and forget about this?
Yeah.
The Don and Mike Show.
Right, Janice.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Welcome back to the show.
Welcome, everybody.
Welcome.
Godless, motherless bastards, Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
You're a prick.
What was that?
You're a prick.
Oh, wow. A prick.
That's right.
Okay. I got you. Oh, you know, when you were talking about cleaning yourself.
Yes.
I was trying to find something on my cell phone. This is something that will only be good for Mike to see. On my son's 22nd birthday.
Did he send you another picture?
No, I sent him a couple of pictures. Ah. And I just found them in my phone.
Now, is this a payback?
Oh, no, no, no. This is just me being goofy.
Okay.
I was amazed that I was in this incredible suite with all of these decks and balconies, and this hotel suite that I was in had bidets.
Ah,
so right. Here's the first picture, and it's of me that I sent to my son on his birthday, about 6 o'clock on his birthday night. And it's me by the bidet, and I don't know if you can see or not.
Is that a toothbrush?
No, that is a glass. Now, that's the first.
Filling up the glass.
That's the first picture.
Right next to the bidet.
Filling up the glass. Right. And,
then, and I never really knew how to use a bidet.
And then here is the follow-up picture, which just made him laugh out loud on the telephone.
And it's Don sitting on the toilet drinking the glass that he's just filled up. That is LOL right there. Look at that.
That's great. You know, maybe I'll transfer these off to a disc tonight. Along with the,
you look like you're a pitchman, too. It's like, here's the fabulous new bidet.
Along
fill your
the,
glass up.
The pictures of those boys from Boston. I'd like to get those up and put them on our,
oh, good.
On our website. Michael.
Yes.
Your fights, please.
Okay. I very quickly, I will tell you about the incidents that happened to me when I was down there. The week was probably not going all that well when I went out to the little shopping area, brand new shopping area down there, which is very exciting for us old people. That when they open up one of these new places, you know, everybody's excited. Everybody wants to go. Who doesn't like the
I'm
new mall?
I'm liable to lose you.
Who doesn't like the new mall? And I went in and we had a really good time. It was I bought some stuff that I needed. I got a pair of shoes down there, some corrective shoes, and you know, Carla was moving from spot to spot, and we walked by and. I actually look in the window and I see this bikini on the mannequin. I said, "Man, I have, you know, that's really a different kind of bikini. That's really classy looking. It doesn't look like these crappy bikinis you see." And we've been at the beach a couple of times. And I said, "That you know, let's go in there. Let's go. You know, let's walk in there and you know, let's get you this." And we go into this bikini store. And you know, I'm poking around a bit, but immediately as soon as I walk in, I sort of regret it because you know you're in a chick store. And right. But what's great about Carla is she goes in and she knows her size in this place, so she doesn't have to, you know, waste time going and trying it on. So she picks this thing out. She goes, "Yeah, I'll get that." I said, "Yeah, go ahead. It's my treat. Great. You know, we've had a great time down here. You know, I'm buying this for you." And she had purchased the shoes for me and vice versa. We just have one of those kind of shopping days. We're at the counter, and there are four of these bubble heads that are working behind the counter in this place. And serious can be, as we're standing at the counter, this girl who was the, I guess, the junior manager, she was standing in back of the person ringing the stuff. She goes, "Oh, man, I used to love it when my father would buy me stuff."
Ooh.
And says it in such a way that you know it is completely, I mean, it is completely serious. You know, and I turn to Carla, and I'm like, what do we do with this little opportunity here? Because it was so real, and she was so sincere. And Carla looked at me and said, "Don't say anything." I'm like, okay, take care, Bubblehead. There you go. And I, but what father would buy his daughter a bikini? That's not the purchase. Maybe one of the guys that's going to be on the Chris Hansen, but I
what
guess
do you
the.
Think, what do you think the lady at the store thought? You're standing there going, "God, you look so hot in that."
I didn't say that. See, that's it. That on maybe I was acting fatherly.
Put yeah. that on for daddy
or,
tonight.
Or maybe there's just an incredible age difference there, and that's what she said. But it's really one of the, you know, I'm surprised that type of thing doesn't happen more often. But, you know, and it was the, I remember when my dad used to buy me stuff.
Daddy day, daughter day.
Daddy day, daughter day.
Now give daddy a kiss.
So flash forward to we go to this ball game. This has happened to me twice at baseball games. And oddly enough, it's both times when I've actually been able to score some very good tickets. And we had the nice thing about spring training is you can get some good seats. And we were down, I think, four or five rows from the on-deck circle, just incredible seats, and you could actually, it was on the Red Sox side, so you can see the Red Sox come out on the on-deck circle, and you could actually, you know, if you wanted to, you could have a conversation when they're that close. So we're at this game, and right before the game starts, four of these guys come walking in, and oddly enough, I leaned over to Carla right as soon as they say, and I really just, on a vibe I had, yeah. I leaned over to her and I said, "Man, does that not look like a bunch of a-holes?" And because it really did. Comes in, I got to describe these guys right. You got one guy that looks like Donald Rumsfeld, only with his hair slicked back.
Are these all old guys again?
You got a guy that's your average 20-something that's next to on the other side of the guy that looks like Donald Rumsfeld. Then you have Earring Boy. Comes in, he's got the designer shorts on, he's got the two earrings, he's got the store-bought tan, you know, the all-over tan, he's got the dyed blonde hair, and he's just, you know, he's just a guy that looks, you know, you just notice them because they came in. Then the last guy, so you got one young, one old, another young, and then the last guy looks like Alan Goodman with hair. Hey. And he looks in and he comes in, and... Right, you know, these guys are just, you know what?
Here's, so you're saying he was Jewish?
No, I don't think he was Jewish. I think he just looked like New York. He looked like New York, you know? Mm-hmm. He comes in and he's, you know, Alan Goodman with hair is not the right way to describe this guy. This guy is very difficult. I wish I could get a better guy, but he's a, they all have.
I only think of his religion when you mention Big Al.
All right, see, that's wrong. See, because I got to take it off religion.
Hey, Mike.
This guy, how
A-D-L.
Are you? Because they weren't even that. They were from New York. It was obvious because the one guy had a Mets hat on. So they sat down, and the game starts, and right away they are giving it to the Red Sox guys on the on deck circle. And this is one of my all time pet peeves. I don't care if it's even a team I'm not rooting for. When you hear, you know, it's the guys. I've seen it before where the guys come in the front row. And they just harass the guys that are playing, and they're not doing it in any funny way. They're doing it in a really like serious way, and it's just pissing me off. It's just saying things like, "Hey, Veritek, yeah, nice batting average. See if you can get some wood on the ball. Yeah, you didn't do that all year. Lowest average in the league." And like quoting statistics, and they're all ignoring him until a player that plays for the Red Sox named Kevin Youkilis. They started saying something about his kids, and I didn't hear it real clear. But he turned around and he said, "Oh, really? Is that you know?" And they start having this, and they're twitchy guys. You know the kind of guys. You know the guys I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
They're sitting there, and the one guy on the aisle, the Alan Goodman guy, has got his little leg going, his little knee going, and they're looking around. And finally, you know, it's about the third inning, and this is going on. And I'm like, "Yo!" I stand up. I go, "Yo, row A, shut up, row A." And as soon as I do this, as soon I realize that. I'm one of 30 people in this whole area, and all I did was uncork the champagne bottle because these people start going, "Yeah, hey." And this guy took up the charge that was on my left. He goes, yeah, yeah, I guess it's freedom of speech, huh? I bet you're a lawyer. I bet you're a lawyer. And then this lady goes, yeah, knock it off down there. And it's like, and it's going on. These guys don't pay any attention to it. And they keep going and going and going. Next inning comes down, and I'm like, yo, row A, shut up. We're trying to watch the game. Leave them alone. And the one guy turns around, and the guy with the two earrings, and I just, you know, when eyes meet, and eyes meet, you know, the eyes meet, and the eyes say, you'd like to dance with me, and I'd like to dance with you. And I'm looking at this guy, but I'm, you know, suddenly common sense prevails, and I realize I'm in the land of the elderly, and I'm in the front row. I'm not, that's not where you see fights happen. You don't want that to happen. I'm four rows in back of these guys. This continues. I'm not even remotely the most pissed off person. I'm yelling and I'm close to him.
Wouldn't the devil's advocate say that they've paid their money to get into the stands, and as long as they are not being profanity laced, that they could say just about anything to the ball players?
Not true. It is the prerogative of the stadium to throw them out because they paid for their tickets. Right. It is the stadium's prerogative to throw. I found this out later when I was talking to somebody because I said the same thing. Because the guy comes down and he said, you know, the usher comes down and the guy leans up and goes, freedom of speech, First Amendment. And that's when one of the other people, people are just screaming at these guys. They're causing a major disruption to the extent where a lady went up and got the Lee County sheriffs to come down. Oh. And two sheriffs come, and this guy is lipping off to the sheriff.
Sure.
But when the sheriffs came, they settled down a little bit. Okay. So it keeps going on. They're not doing it nearly as much. In fact, it died down to an extent where you could actually watch the game. However, you know me, I don't normally forget. And I pulled a, you know, kind of an old move that during the break in the inning, finally, the twitchy leader of the band who was doing the most heckling decides that he's going to come up and, you know, either go to the bathroom or get a beer or whatever.
Walk
he's
going to get up, seat.
And I'm on the aisle. And he made the mistake of actually coming on the inside where the little poles are. And at that point, I just decided that I would stretch my legs temporarily.
Not let him
and
get by.
As I was stretching my legs, my elbow happened to fly into his rib cage, and he didn't even break stride. He didn't. He was moving so quickly with his head down, twitching his way all the way up there. But I was, you know, I really felt frustrated because in that situation, there's only one way. You know what those guys really deserve? You know, they deserve to be hit in the head. That's what they deserve. Wow. They deserve to be They're being a-holes, and they're disrupting it for everybody else. But I can't get into a fight. I'm going to go.
Mike, yes. I want to be on your side.
Yes.
You're in a baseball game.
No, but it's different. It's not like guys that are screaming out profanity and stuff at the game. I've been to games
That's what I'm saying.
This is just they were pissing everybody else off because it was directly at the players. And, you know, and you looked at them, and not one of those guys, you could look at these guys, not one of them has ever played a team sport. Not one of them's ever been in a game themselves.
Well, hold on. Do the pussy Red Sox need judo fighting their battles?
No, but what are the players going to do? Get to, you know, the players aren't going to come over. I mean, that happens, I guess, occasionally. But there was only one guy that even you know, because they were ignoring it the whole time. But he was that close to him, and I wasn't the only one that was annoyed at this. And it was just like it was a good go. I wish. I'm glad nothing happened because
yeah,
I certainly
too.
Would not want to spend a night in a Lee County detention facility.
Me too, because
that wouldn't have been fun.
I think you'd lose.
What's that? You mean lose the fight?
No. I think you'd like if they pulled you in, if you like.
Oh, you mean like if I threw the first punch?
If you clocked the guy.
Oh, absolutely.
And they said to the guy, "What did you do?" And
he said, of course.
I was just yelling at Veritek, telling him he couldn't hit his weight.
No, but you know, if I, of course I wouldn't. That wasn't lost on me either, you know. But there was one, the earring guy, when he was coming up the aisle, had the cell phone too, which was glued to his ear, you know. And he's like, "I'm Mr. Slick Boy," and we just had another one of those little eye contact. He was the young guy. He was the guy that I was actually focused on a little bit more.
Were they Yankees fans or Mets fans? Do you think
they were? I don't know. And who knows? I mean, all I know is they were doing it. And they were the only people they were amusing, you know, they're elbowing their buddies and just doing, and they're all twitching, you know, they're all doing where their eyes are like shifting around, they're looking around, and everybody just hated these guys. Flash forward to like 2 days later, I'm at another ballpark because I go to a lot of spring training games down there. This guy comes down, and you talked about meeting some Boston people. This guy comes down who is just huge. He's like 6'4". And he walks right up to me and Carla, and I'm like, what's he doing? And he walks over, and obviously he puts his hand on my shoulder. He goes, were you at Hammond Stadium the other night? I said, yeah. He said, I just want to know. I'm a Boston cop. We had about four of us, about five rows in back here.
we were ready to back you up if anything happened with those a-holes that were down there.
God.
And it was just, it was very, you know, it was nice to get a little validation on that. Mm-hmm. But they were such, here's the deal. You know what? I've been there where guys have done the same thing, and it's funny, and they're actually making comments that are kind of funny, and it doesn't really bother the players at all, and it doesn't bother anybody around them. They were saying things that were just, you know, just slightly over the line, and it was just really starting to piss the players off and also piss everybody up in the whole section. So we were just pissed off at the guys. We really were.
We can't have that at a baseball game, can we?
I'm proud of you.
You had to be there. If you'd been there, you would have been right with me. You would have been with me 100% because they were just being sick. And they twitched. They twitched because they were shifty, slimy little bastards.
There's a reason
they
hit them right there.
You know, I feel like I'm back at the game now. I really do.
You're all worked up again.
I'm worked up again. I got worked up. It ruined the game for me and about 10 other people. It really sucked. And the one guy, the lawyer next to me, said, "I'm a lawyer, too." And they all have these, all the accents that you have down there. "I'm a lawyer, too. I bet you're going to say it's First Amendment, huh? You're going to say it's First Amendment." And the guys ignored him. The only people they were paying attention to was just hurling as much crap as they could at the players. And the one guy's knee is going up and down.
That's what really bothered
you. Just going up and down.
Knee.
How are you? Costa Rica.
I'm sure all the Red Sox were happy you were there stand up for their honor.
It really was, you know, it wasn't even a Red Sox issue as much as it was just they were such dicks. You know, they really were. And they deserved to be shut down a little bit. And they finally quieted down. But it took two sheriffs actually coming down to the front of the, you know, the section to get those guys quieted down. And I never seriously thought about throwing a blow. I'm 47 years old. What would I do with that, huh? Come on now. I never really would have done that. I thought someone should speak up and tell them to quiet down. Mm-hmm. And
on behalf of the ball player who was being yelled at.
On behalf of the section that I was sitting in. The ball players can take care of themselves, but on behalf of the good patrons of Boston, Don,
okay,
that didn't want to take that crap.
Okay.
But then it was off to the beach the following day, and I had a bit of a moment where have you ever seen the thing where they parasail on the where they take you out on the boat and they do it at beaches.
Oh,
you
sure.
Go to Ocean City all the time.
Of course.
We set up camp and we see this old lady come in, and she's not an old lady. She's just a slight bit overweight. And they throw the little ladder over the side of the tender boat that I guess takes them out to the main boat.
Right.
And I'm sitting there, you know, enjoying a beverage and sitting at the beach with my sunglasses on. And this lady is struggling to get over the side of the boat. And I think I may have really, you know, enjoyed this. I'm not saying anything, but she's trying to heave herself over. And the ladder goes all the way down to the bottom, and she struggles once, and then she struggles. Then it's like two deckhands that are trying to pull up.
Pulling a whale in.
And I said, you know, and I'm not, you know, Lord knows I'm not thin, but I'm very amused at this. And after about eight tries with two deckhands, they haul this lady. I said to Carla, I said, are they taking her out are they going to let her parasail if she's having this much trouble? And you can't tell because they go so far offshore that, you know, maybe she's going to have a little problem out there. So, you know, I never saw her again, and I don't know whether she made it or hurt herself or whether she broke some harnesses or...
I hope nobody hassled her.
But...
Hope nobody said, "Hey there, fatty! Hey there, fatty! I don't think that thing's going to get off the air there! Fatty, what? Hey,
well, the funny thing was that...
Are you a lawyer?
The next day, a Boston cop came up to me and said, I saw you laughing at that fat lady. No, this is where, you know, I learned my lesson, my valuable lesson.
Which,
We rented a boat, and it was kind of a choppy day. It's about a 21-foot boat. We rent the boat, and we go off the beach, and we're trying to do a little fishing. And we're not 10 minutes out on the water, and it's going up and down. And Carla says, "I'm not feeling too good." And I said, "Oh, no, are you getting a little seasick?" She said, "Yeah, I think so." And not 5 minutes after that, I mean, it's going up and down. And I'm saying, you know, I don't feel that hot either. We're going to go into shore. So we take our boat in to right off the beach where close to where the lady was, and I said, you know, really, you know, what'll make me feel better will be to hop off the boat and catch a quick dip, you know, no problem at all. I'm just gonna go freshen up my face, get a little cold water on it, and then I'll get back on the boat. So I jump into about 4 feet of water, and maybe 5 feet of water. It's right up to about my my
your
chin.
Neck, right?
And I go to the back, and I see that there's a ladder at the back of the boat. And the ladder comes up. I'm trying to paint the picture of the engineering dynamics of this boat. The ladder comes up to about my chest.
Okay.
So,
and then the railings on the ladder kind of slip forward.
I think everybody
and I got
knows,
a lot of suntan lotion.
Everybody
out.
Knows that yeah. little tiny
yeah,
boat
I
ladder.
Had, I had a little boat like this that had a ladder, but it had two more rungs on it.
That's
you know,
handy.
It had this has a rung where. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation. The rung is literally at nipple level for yeah. me. So in order to get on the back of this boat, I got to put my, you know, literally lift my leg up, sort of float on my back, oh. and then take my body weight, the bulk of my body weight, and, well, flash forward, I become the lady. I become the lady, and Carla's on the boat, and Carla was concerned at first.
Could you not
then,
make it onto the boat?
And then couldn't help herself laughing yeah. at me. And the thing was, I eventually made it onto the boat, but I had to get a towel and wrap it around the bottom rung so I could put my knee up on the rung and not, like, smash my knee. Uh-huh. And then I made the terrible mistake of pushing off the back of the outboard,
yeah.
and I thought it was just the little metal part that came out when, in fact, it was the bottom of my foot went across the prop.
Oh.
And when I finally, Carla's, you know, got tears in her eyes because she's laughing so hard at this. She's forgotten her seasickness as I'm pulling myself over this thing. But this is it. This happened to me because I made fun of that lady.
That's right.
And maybe because I challenged those boys to a fight that night.
First Amendment there, Mikey.
But First Amendment, that's right. That's why you got to cut your foot up the beach the other day, fat ass. Enjoy yourself. You know. But I
think the best part of that was putting the towel.
Yes.
Because I can picture you hanging off the back.
It was a thing where putting all of my body weight, you know, at that angle into this metal
you could not
bar.
Get, you could not get the leverage.
The leverage
to swing
was,
yourself up there,
was
right?
not there. I'm sure a svelte tiny person would, you know, would be like a little hummingbird and float right onto the effing boat. But I'm sitting there with my knee and trying to pull it up, and you know, and all these, you know, it was a very, very sad moment. And I was relieved to get on the boat and you know, turn the engine on, pulled the anchor up, and that's when I look down and I see that my foot is in basically a pool of blood from where I stepped off the prop. And somehow I, well, this one's all gone, but somehow I'd raked the prop across this part of my body, too, my arm, and it was, but all in all, it was a good vacation.
Then came the shark.
It was, I don't think I didn't think about that when I scraped it, because I looked at, I didn't see my foot was bleeding, and my foot was bleeding the kind of blood where it would be, you know, open water, that kind of thing.
And then the little O'Mara boy comes spilling out all over the dock.
This was no boating accident.
But I had it, you know, really, I know I'm telling you all these negative things that happened. You know, I didn't get into a fight with the guys at the ball game. I did pull myself onto the boat. I did get seasick, but I had a very, very, very good time and managed to drink almost every night I was there.
There
except for the last two nights.
Here
wanted to
go.
Sober up coming back to, you know, Showtime and all that.
Good for you.
What a drag that is. God, right now, I'd be on my fourth already. Quarter of five. Might start working on that. A little bit of set up the open bar. Don't want to get into any fights, though.
No.
You would have been with me at the ballpark. You would have been on my side.
I would
side.
Not have, Mike.
Yes,
no.
you would have.
Fighting
would have.
Never solves anything.
It wasn't, it wasn't a fighting
I'm so
thing.
Used to going to football games and people are drunk and out of control. There's nothing you can do about it.
You know, with they. I don't know if they had kept it up. I'm not sure whether they would have been thrown out or not.
Well, we got a break. I'm on your side except for the fact.
And I wouldn't have fought them, of
except
course.
Except for the fact that you're saying that all they were really doing was just like saying, hey, come on, you suck. You can't hit, you can't hit, you can't hit.
Yeah, I mean, really, they're doing the same kind of thing. But you know what? If it was 20 rows back, it'd be a hell of a lot different than when you're actually saying it right to the player's face. It just seems like it's a little different.
Too
there.
Personal.
It is. And the players have to ignore it. But it's, you know, I would have hoped that if I was in an altercation, even if you disagreed at the time, you would have backed me up on that.
I'd have your back.
God bless you.
Of course I would.
God bless you there, Donnie.
Of course I would.
You and Muffinhead or whatever his name was.
Muffin Top.
Muffin Top.
My boy, Muffin Top.
There you go. No problem. You know.
I would also catch those lads off guard. I realized when you're drinking and you're on vacation and you see someone like across the hotel lobby,
mm-hmm.
and I would scream, hey, you fags.
Yeah. Yeah.
You realize careful. Every head in the room turns. Like,
sure.
Hey, it's a term of endearment. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, they're fags in the good way.
In a good way. I only meant in the best possible way.
Pause.
This is the Don and Mike Show.